ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. That's for a number of charges involving his time with the Trump campaign back in 2016. France's interior minister says that the suspect in the deadly attack on the Christmas market in Strasbourg has had a long criminal record. With his first conviction at the age of 13, he was also on the government's radar as a possible Muslim extremist. British Prime Minister Theresa May told Parliament today that she'll fight any plans by her political foes to drive her from office, saying that would be bad for the country. May is under fire mostly from those opposed to the Brexit, the terms of which must still be ratified by Parliament if it's going to take place by March of next year, as currently scheduled. U.S. consumer prices were unchanged in November. That was best performance since prices actually fell 8 months ago. This is SRN News.
Lots of sunshine today and no rain or clouds. Our high today will be 63 degrees. This evening, a few clouds expected. No rain tonight. Overnight, the low 42. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy and warmer. We're expecting about a 1 in 5 chance of rain. The high tomorrow in the upper 60s.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy, my battle buddy, Doug McCary from His Light Ministry. Doug, we are officially, as of tomorrow, beginning our Christmas break.
Our Christmas break. Well, actually, we're starting it a little early because Steve won't be here.
So Steve, you're leaving us. We're blaming it on Steve over here.
Steve's leaving us, man. I mean, he's going away, so we have to go away. But hey, I'm not going to be complaining because that means I've got time to spend with my family.
Well, you know? Me too. And I mean, if you're listening out there, we will have some broadcast going and really kind of a best of.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. We will. And next week, because of feedback, we are replaying last week. And I know you weren't here, but hopefully you can listen to it if you because Shark Boy did a good job, and we actually Tunch did a fabulous job on the thing, but just dealing with the issue of marriage,
it was
just such a reminder. In fact, you and I were talking before we went on air. You know, these principles can be applied in everyday life, not just to your spouse, but just to
any relationship.
Any relationship, you know? I mean, if you're hard-hearted with your spouse, you're probably hard-hearted with other people, too.
There's no question. No question. I mean, when you look at the fruits of the Spirit, I was meeting with a fellow this morning, and we were discussing the fruits of the Spirit that, by the way, were deposited in us when we came to Christ. You don't need more of the Spirit. You need less of yourself, maybe, but you don't need more of the Spirit because the full deposit of the Holy Spirit got dumped into you. And the reality is all those fruits are in you, and they're to be on display. And boy, am I reminded, as you look at marriage, the challenge of putting those fruits on display: patience, kindness, and gentleness, and goodness, self-control.
All those, man, those are things you can't manufacture.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're not only good in marriage, they're good in business. They're good in, they're just good in life.
So all that to say that we will be playing a best of from really starting tomorrow till the end of the year so that you and I can be with our families. And I love this time of year. It's just seeing the lights, being reminded that we are the light to the world. In fact, Brad, I just asked God today for opportunities to be a light. And twice today, I've had two different opportunities to be a light to people that were struggling. And, you know, as believers out there, all we got to do is That's the prayer God wants to answer. That's the prayer he says, okay, great. Okay, you want, I'll bring somebody into your life. And he does.
There is no doubt. This is one of the conversations I had after lunch today, after our SWAT Bible study. By the way, if you're listening and you're wondering what we're going to, I wish, Doug, we could just keep teaching through what you taught on this today. But, you know, so they'll have to wait till after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking about that idea, what do you pray about throughout your day, or, you know, as you begin your day?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I pray for, is that God would provide opportunities. Not only that he would provide opportunities, but that I'd have the eyes and the ears to hear it and see it, and then the boldness to walk through those doors.
Yeah, because I think the opportunities are there.
They are.
We just sometimes don't see them because we're too busy probably thinking about our own stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you think that's a problem?
I heard a story one time about this fly that kept banging his face against this glass. He wanted to get outside, but he just kept, you know, he'd bang into that glass, he'd fly away, he'd come flying back in, thinking he can get through there. Little did he know that there was a door that was open just a few feet away. Mm. Sometimes we got to back up a little bit and get a different perspective. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, I can be a little stubborn, and I can be pounding on stuff that just isn't open at this point.
Yeah.
You know, now it might be evangelism opportunities. It might be opportunities to just pray with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, give us sensitive hearts, tender hearts. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and give us a soft heart so that we might be compassionate toward those, especially, Doug, and I say it's not especially, but may we be reminded of even more in this season, because this is a tough season. I mean, you and I are excited about it, but for other people, they're not as excited about it.
No, we were talking today that the suicide rate in December is the highest of any other time of year. Mm. And so we need to be vigilant about looking for opportunities and be a light. And so, hey, before we jump into the text today and talk about Matthew 19, by the way, if you're listening and you're not driving and you can open up a copy of the scriptures, we're going to be in Matthew 19 still today, finishing up our look at Matthew 19, 1 through 12, focusing in on the last few verses today. But the National Institute of Health, Brad, has been studying the effect of screen time on children, and the results are in, and they're not good. They report that 9 and 10-year-old children who spend more than 2 hours in front of a screen each day score lower on thinking and language tests.
Mm.
In other words, you're talking about the average tweenager, somebody between a teenager and an adolescent there, spends up to 6 hours a day on a tablet or phone. Parents, are you listening? Please listen to this. They are compiling scientific data now that is saying, and we wonder why the owners of Google and Facebook and Apple won't let their kids be on the devices that they create for everybody else. It's because they know this, right? That the children with daily screen usage of more than 7 hours a day show premature thinning of the brain cortex. This is not just theory. They've actually studied this. And the brain cortex is the outermost layer that processes information from the physical world that we're around. And although, you know, they do admit it's too early to know for certainty that it actually changes the brain, what they are able to say is it definitely reflects in lower test scores for these particular groups. They did these study groups. So, and this is just one report, right, of how technology is affecting our kids. And another study related is that the smartphone used by children to sleep deprivation, they're tying that in, and poor attention spans. And two-thirds of children take their smartphones or devices to bed with them. they have them going as they go to sleep at night. And one group of these scientists found that the more time four-year-olds spent interacting with media, the shorter their sleep was by age 4 and 6.
Wow.
And even a Harvard study showed that blue-tinged light, which comes from these devices, mm-hmm. Suppresses the production of melatonin, which is a sleep-inducing hormone that's basically we need for good sleep. So counselors are warning about it. The medical community is warning about it. And we're not just talking about playing a video game or talking. We're talking about spending significant amount of time on the little blue screen. Mm. And children in America between the ages of 8 and 18, they say almost 10% are addicted now to these devices. They have a psychological addiction that creates a problem for them, that they spend more than 7 hours a day consuming media on these devices. And this will produce destructive dependence, extreme changes of personality, isolation, and physical signs during withdrawal. Think about that, the impact that's. So how do we do that? There's a book out there, actually, by Andy Crouch called The Tech Wise Family, Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. He says, turn off technology 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. Think about that. Mm. You just say, we're turning it off 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, mm-hmm. 1 week a year. Use screens for a purpose and together rather than aimlessly and alone. Okay? Dedicate car time to conversation with no technology. I told my girls today, no ear pods in the car. No earphones in the car. Be sure that spouses have each other's passwords and parents have complete access to their children's devices. Parents, are you listening? Do you know what your child's social media account looks like? When's the last time you checked their social media account? Do you know what's on your spouse's account? See, we talked about this yesterday in being one,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, this is the other thing. In the New Testament, the church is seen as a faith community, which is a vine with a lot of branches and many parts, right? But think about what technology does. It makes us all individual.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that the most used device in the world has an apple with a bite out of it? Have you ever thought about that?
Mm-hmm.
So a computer or handheld device is intentionally isolating. It's hard for two people to use one keyboard or even to look at one little smartphone. So remember, parents, we are to bring our children up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. We're to value them as a heritage. And you know what? In the Jewish culture, Deuteronomy 6, I said it this morning, mm-hmm. You are to talk about God, train your children, teach them these things.
When you rise up, when you lie down.
Yeah. The family's God's invention. And in Genesis 1:26-28 makes that clear. But the devil does everything he can to divide it and break it up. And we are, fathers, the pastors of our home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to allow our children just to do whatever. And so one of the things Lori and I have done is every night our girls' devices come up to our room and they're charged up in our room. We bring them up at night and in the morning they get them after they've spent time in the Word. And they fill out their sheets and they do stuff and they go in there and hopefully they're getting some spiritual input before they go into the electronic world. So turn the devices off 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. Use for purposes other than just individually. Dedicate car time to conversation with no technology. And know the passwords and have access to devices. That's Everyday, the TechWise family, Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place.
Well, while you were talking there, I went to it. So, The TechWise Family by Andy Crouch. I'm going to order a copy right now. I may order two or three copies, as a matter of fact. Yeah. You know, interesting. One hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey, join us. SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
SWAT Radio.
Yeah.
And the Pentatonics.
Pentatonics and Oh Holy Night with a fire.
I really like that fire there.
Yeah, you had a little fire, Yule log going right there,
yeah,
didn't you?
It's so funny. Obviously, as I go show properties to families, sometimes they're like, oh, it's got a fireplace. We live in Florida. But, you know, of course, today and in the days ahead, we'll know why we have fireplaces, even in Florida.
Yeah.
But, usually you hear something like, well, we don't need a fireplace, honey. You know, and I said, well, you know, you're right. These days you just turn on your television. There's a screen you can do that'll show a fireplace and it'll make the crackle of a fire.
Yeah.
But there's nothing quite like a fire, right? So I appreciate you pulling that up. Doug,
yeah. Wasn't that nice?
Showing that fireplace.
Yeah, that was nice.
But, man, what a gorgeous day it is out there today. I almost called you earlier and said, hey, why don't we go hit some range balls somewhere?
Oh, it would have been nice out there.
Oh, right? My goodness. Yeah.
Just kind of a beautiful time of year. You know, it's funny. We got up this morning and there was frost on the roof. The girl goes, look, it's snow. I'm like, no, it's frost because it's like 34 degrees. It's a little chilly out there. But, yeah, you know, hey, you know, we would like to thank all the people that listen to SWAT Radio, and I hope you'll share SWAT Radio with people that you know, because Brad and I love just taking the Bible and making it practical and relevant. We feel like God is continually helping us in our own lives, and pretty much we just kind of share what he's teaching us as we work through these passages we work through, and we've been working through Matthew for a while, and we're finishing up Matthew 19, or actually 7 through 12, Matthew 19, 7 through 12. And like Brad shared, tomorrow and Friday, and then really for the rest of the year, you're going to hear a best of. We're going to replay next week the last week of the marriage that we covered, Matthew 19, 1 through 6. So I would love for you to listen to that again. And on Thursday of last week, we had Tunch Ilk, and we're going to replay that. Great interview. Just a guy who loves the Lord, who lost his wife to cancer about 7 years ago. And he'll see her again, but he shares a little bit about that. So hopefully you'll join us next week. And we just wish you guys a Merry Christmas, you know?
Amen. Amen. And it's been fun. You're talking about the technology and how much time is spent in front of a screen. I mean, obviously that we were talking more about, tweenagers, teenagers till, 19. And yet parents, if you're listening out there, I can struggle with that. You and I are both looking into a screen right now.
Yeah.
Whether it's, time. In fact, I was running late to SWAT Bible study today, and I didn't have my bag with me, which I always have my Bible in my bag. So I was without my Bible, which is pretty unusual for me to not have my Bible. But I had my Bible on my phone, so I came to SWAT, had it there. But, even adults, we can spend a lot of time on these devices.
Yeah.
And I was reminded even today, I had a meeting this morning with a fellow SWAT brother. Hmm. And, there's just nothing like face-to-face time.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? No agenda necessarily, other than just to come together, enjoy a meal, enjoy a cup of coffee together, just talk life.
Hmm.
And, boy, we need that. So often we get into these devices and we have just at the touch of a finger, we can access information, but you can't access relationship on a device.
Mm-hmm.
And God designed us for that.
He did. And that's the thing. I when you look at what that one guy was sharing about how we were kind of designed for a relationship, and the faith community of the New Testament church, it was all about community. And the devices, by design, bring us into isolation. Because how many people can use your laptop?
Yeah,
how many people can use your device?
Right.
Usually one.
Mm-hmm.
And even selfies. We used to take pictures together.
I know.
Because think about it. Before the selfie, hey, would you take my picture over here?
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that. But if you were with somebody, you would take a picture a lot of times. It's kind of funny. Anyway,
so we
digress. Now
the whole selfie idea is just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
This passage that we've been dealing with in Matthew 19 about the marriage issue and the divorce issue. Again, I want to emphasize that there are two extremes within the church. One is we put a scarlet D around the neck of people that have been divorced, and we write them off as not being able to contribute and be a part of the community. That's not right.
Mm-hmm.
But there also is the other extreme, which is, well, it's okay for any and every reason, and it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
And we don't diminish God's standard of marriage just because people have had hardness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what Jesus attributes to that. He says Moses allowed it because of the hardness of heart. In fact, read, Brad, Matthew 7.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 19, 7 through 12. And we're going to look at the last segment today, talking about eunuchs a little.
Good. I was hoping you would get to that as I've read it. But Matthew 19, verses 7 through 12. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." Verse 10, the disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it."
So we looked at Monday that this first section, when Jesus talks about a hard heart, he's revealing the one of the first keys to a lifelong covenant marriage relationship is a tender heart. And we talked about being grateful and understanding and forgiving and all those elements being there in that tenderness of heart. And he was saying that the reason you seek the divorce, the reason you want the divorce is because of the hardness of your heart, not to be able to forgive, not to be understanding, not to be grateful for what God's done in your life. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you and I talked to people and they make the statement, well, God doesn't want me to be unhappy the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I can't live with this person. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that person can't live with you. And maybe what God's wanting is in that crucible of marriage to work through what forgiveness looks like. You've been forgiven. You go forgive. And people will say, well, you don't understand. You don't understand. You've been married 33 years. I've been married 35. So 68 years between us, there's been a lot of I'm sorry's, a lot of having to work through eating humble pie, right?
That's right. That's right. I think it was Swindoll, Chuck Swindoll. We need to get Dr. Swindoll on SWAT
Radio. That would be great to have him on.
I was thinking about something. These things that you heard years and years and years ago that just sink in. You know, he said 12 most important words, you know, in marriage is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I was wrong, and I love you.
Wow.
If you can learn those three word phrases, your marriage would be much the better.
Okay, so say them again. So everybody say them real slow.
I am sorry.
Wait, that's one that, you know, is kind of hard to say.
I was wrong.
That's even harder.
Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
Yeah.
Now, listen. That's very simple. I'm not one of these guys who teaches with a four-point
You're not like me.
No, I am a little bit, and I appreciated what you even said today. It makes it easier to remember, you know, when you teach that way.
Yeah, but Lori gives me grief because I alliterate sometimes. CCCCC or PPPPP.
I do acronym. I'm more of an acronym guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I heard that years ago, and I thought, wow. I'm not good at any of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shared with the SWAT guys last week, and Doug, over the years, I've shared with many men that through the relationships that I've had with several men over my life, you being one of those men, that those men have shaped my life. Now, God has shaped my life through those men. And one of those was a guy who challenged me to pray for my wife.
Oh, I remember you sharing that.
And I've shared that. And one of the additions to not just praying for her, but to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear about people who lose a loved one and they just want to go back and tell them that they love them.
Yeah, if you're listening today, when's the last time you told your wife you loved her?
Mm.
I love you. You know, if you're listening right now and you haven't done it in a while, why don't you take a moment this afternoon? If they're close by, do it now.
That's right.
Just tell them. And if they're not there when they get home or when you see them, tell them, I love you.
Hey, we'll even give you permission to turn the radio off.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone, call your mate.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? I haven't said this in a while.
Yeah.
I love you.
Just, I love you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, there's something tenderizing to the heart about saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, those things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say I love you with a hard heart necessarily. It just doesn't come out right.
I think we've talked about this. So, you know, you and your brother David, you know, did y'all ever wrestle or fight or, you know?
I mean, I shot him with a BB gun. Met your mom, I think I shot him with a BB gun. I tried to, he was faster than
my mom used to make us sit on a little stool looking at each other and say, I'm sorry.
Tell them I'm sorry. Tell them I love them.
Exactly.
Him. Yeah.
But, you know, it's easy to just go, hey, I'm sorry. But when you have to look somebody in the eye and tell them, I'm really sorry. Well, how about that?
Yeah.
Hey, glad you joined us today. We got a little sidetrack there. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio.
That's all right.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Correspondent Tom Hayes was in the courtroom when the sentence came down.
Judge Pauley made clear early on that he intended to sentence Cohen to a significant prison term to send a message of deterrence. He spoke of general deterrence and specific deterrence and said that it would be a mistake for anybody to believe that they could get away with the kind of conduct for which Mr. Cohen has admitted.
Admitting to making payments to alleged Trump mistresses, other financial misdeeds, and of lying to Congress. The president says his televised bickering with top Democrats yesterday was actually the start of what he called a very friendly meeting. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
For several minutes, the president, Senator Chuck Schumer, and Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi squabbled during an Oval Office meeting in front of reporters. Later, Mr. Trump said he thought it went well.
Well, believe it or not, I think it was a very friendly meeting. You know, you saw the beginnings of it, but it actually worked out to be, I think, pretty good.
He said he likes and respect Schumer and Pelosi despite their political differences over funding a wall along the southern border. Greg Clugston, the White House.
First Lady Melania Trump paying a visit to a joint Air Force Army base today in Hampton, Virginia.
We know that we are free because you are brave. And I speak on behalf of my husband when I tell you we are forever grateful for your service.
Melania Trump speaking to a crowd today inside a hangar at Joint Base Langley Eustis in Hampton, Virginia. Insurance claims from last month's California wildfires already exceeding $9 billion. State Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones.
The grand total of these insured losses associated with these 2018 fires so far is $9.05 billion. $9.05 billion, just slightly over $9 billion.
About $7 billion in claims are from the Camp Fire, the one that destroyed the Northern California city of Paradise. More from townhall.com.
Seeing some onlooker delays because of an accident in the clearing stages on the East Beltway 295 southbound before Monument Road. Also a crash on I-95 northbound beyond Old St. Augustine Road. And congestion on the East Beltway 295 southbound from Gate Parkway to before Bay Meadows Road. Becoming partly cloudy tonight, low 40. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers, high 66.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I
Amy Grant, is that correct?
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting good about that.
Yeah, Amy Grant and Breath of Heaven.
You guys remember the show Name That Tune?
Yeah.
So we're all that same generation, you know.
I can name that tune in three notes.
Yeah, I can't name the song. I couldn't sing the song, but I might be able to name who sung it.
Yeah.
Who sang it.
Yeah, that was it was good.
Well, Michael W. Smith was in town last night, and we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if any of our listeners went to the concert. Call us. We'd love to hear from you. 904.
Well, I know somebody went because they got free tickets.
Did they?
Back when he was our guest, we gave away tickets.
Oh,
and
that's
They hopefully came by and got them.
Yeah. So. Call us, 904-401-1413. If you went to the concert or maybe you have a word for us. We had a call yesterday. Was it Pam, I think,
you
called us?
Yeah, it was really good.
Just such a good. I actually shared that this morning with somebody. We were talking about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. And she said something to the effect, maybe there's been more watering going on.
Yeah, you haven't been watering your grass very much.
made me realize maybe even those four phrases I just gave you, that's good watering. Mm-hmm. It's good watering. We need to water that garden. In fact, the Song of Solomon speaks about the garden and uses it as a illustration in marriage.
Speaking of Song of Solomon, Tommy Nelson, if you really want your kids who have not gotten married or even maybe they're newly married.
It is a great, even for dating.
Yeah.
I've sent it.
The Song of Solomon series by Tommy Nelson, mm-hmm. Denton Bible Church. You can download it now for free.
Yeah. It's a out seven-part
there. Deal. It is a really fabulous exposition of Song of Solomon and instruction on marriage, I think, and dating.
It's over 25 years old. I've used that.
Still relevant.
Oh, it's so good. Well, of course, the Bible's always
and he's
relevant.
Coming. He's actually going to be speaking in Jacksonville at the Jacksonville Pastors Conference. By the way, we won't be here till right at the beginning of January after the new year, but maybe we can get him on before that and talk about that. You know, maybe he'll give us a little preview of what he's going to share.
Hey, maybe we can set up at the conference.
Yeah, you know, they wanted us to. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do that this year. Well, you know, Brad, this passage today you read about the eunuch, and that throws a lot of people off when they hear that, and they get all caught up in the eunuch thing. And basically what Jesus is doing is he's responding to the disciples. When Jesus gives his teaching, he says that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. He was basically calling out all those people because they had been doing that. The predominant view of that time was that it's okay to divorce your wife for any reason. And so he's telling people of their need for a savior. We looked at a tender heart and a need for a savior, recognizing our need. But when he talks about this really high standard, the disciples go, well, it's better not to marry.
Mm-hmm.
They just go, I mean, it would be better not even to marry. And he said not everybody can receive that. And then he just gives them similar instruction that there are eunuchs. The word there is actually the Greek word means it's like eunuchos, or it's like eunuchos, eunuchos. It's somebody who's been castrated. A castrated male is what it's really referring to, because what would happen is when a king was going to have somebody look out and be in charge of his harem, in charge of all the women that were the wives of the king, that person would be castrated so they would not be tempted to impregnate one of those women that were one of the wives of the king and mess up the royal line. So they would be castrated. So Jesus just said, you know, there's some people who have been so from birth, they were born without the ability to have sexual intercourse. There are some who are made eunuchs. That's the ones he's talking about in that case, like the king. And then there's some who've made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. That doesn't mean that they go out and castrate themselves. It means that they've just basically taken a vow of celibacy, or maybe not even that they vowed it. They feel God calling them to a celibate, single life so they can serve his purposes. And, you know, I've met several missionaries who've been like that, who for a period in their life, they just said, you know what, rather than getting married, I feel God calling me to serve. And later they may get married, but for that time period, they've been eunuchs to go along with this verse. But after he says that, Jesus makes this statement, let the one who's able to receive this receive it. And I think that the driving thought behind this last section is God's word is our authority. And when he says, let the one who's able to receive it, receive it, I think we look for the exceptions like the Pharisees, and we don't want to accept God's word when it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We want it when it brings blessing into our life. Yeah. We want it when it goes along with what we think or things that are important to us. But as it relates to things that sometimes become difficult for us, we say, well, that's not what that means. You know, I'm going to go talk to somebody else. And let me just tell you, if you're listening, you can always find somebody that will give you what I call the cover to do what you want to do with his word.
Hmm.
And we see that within the people in the LGBTQ community who have now basically brought dilution of God's word into the church by saying that, oh, it doesn't mean the same thing today as it did then. That was for then. This is for now. Like homosexuality and lesbianism is something that just popped on the scene in our culture.
No.
It's been a part of culture for a long time. And it was dealt with God's word a long time ago. And God's word hasn't changed in that respect. And yes, I get you can go in the Bible and why did God allow people to do this in that day? Why did men pray with their head covered? Why did women, you know, have to be silent in the church?
Why were there slaves?
Yeah. There were a lot of things that were imperfect that God allowed to go as an unfolding of his plan. But there are some things that have been very clear from the beginning, that God's purpose for a man and woman were to be in a marriage relationship, to be the base cell of a faith community, to reproduce faith community people, to spread the gospel, to be his light, and to rule in the world around them with the influence that God gives them. Sometimes that ruling means to be a martyr, like in China or in the Middle East. Your ruling is that you're out there being a witness for Christ and you suffer for it. Like John Monger, you're in prison and you're beaten. But it also may mean to rule. Maybe God puts you in a country that's free and you have access to a business that you run. And I was with a guy in Israel who was a businessman from the Northwest, and he really challenged me to challenge some businessmen and people. Think of whatever your gifts are. Your job or your vocation, whatever it is, let's say in your case, Brad, it's a realtor. He said, challenge people, say, okay, God, you've gifted me with this ability and this platform to be your instrument. I would like to dedicate one home a year to you, maybe more, whatever God puts on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're a woman who has talents that you have an ability to do a particular hobby or do something. So, you know what? I'm going to dedicate making some of these and selling them and take that and give to missions.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, use your talents for kingdom work. But whatever it is, do it for the Lord. But, you know, getting back to this particular thing with God's word, his word has to be our authority. And Brad, there was a time in my life where somebody came up to me and said, I just want to know what God's word says about divorce, since this is the topic we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
And we said to that person, Lori and I, that God's word is pretty clear. And I think we even use this passage in Malachi where it says God hates divorce. And then they didn't receive it. Why? Because they weren't able to receive it, because they wanted to do what they wanted to do rather than let God's word be their authority. I think you get into big problems when that happens.
Reminds me of what we looked at today in the rich young ruler, that when Jesus told him, hey, sell all you have, give to the poor. That wasn't what he wanted to hear.
Nope.
Now, that doesn't mean that's what we're called to do, but we have throughout Scripture commands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't like those.
No, we don't like them at all.
Unfortunately, in many places, we hop, skip, and jump through those texts so that we don't confront people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, when we come back from this last break, we're going to look at Why should we marry? One little summary of everything that we've covered last week and this week. And so we'll do that when we get back.
Glad you joined us today. You want to call 904-401-1413. We'd love to hear from you. SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Who is that?
That's For Him, A Strange Way to Save the World. Isn't that a beautiful song? Mm. You know, have you asked that question, why me? You ever ask that? Sometimes I just get teary thinking, you know, with all the mistakes I've made in life, that God chooses me to be in His family, first of all, and then to bless me. Why here? You know, why her, Lori? You know, I mean, why? Yeah. This question, it and God uses the simple of things of the world to confound the wise. He uses the weak to confound the strong.
It's not the way you would have done it.
No.
Not the way I would have done it.
Now, and listen, nobody would have picked the disciples. No, there's not a HR company in the world that would have put those guys on his team, you know? And that's the message, guys, for those people listening. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care how you feel disqualified. I don't care how you feel marginalized because of mistakes you've made. You're redeemable.
Yeah.
If God can redeem me, if He can redeem Brad, if He can redeem a guy named Saul who killed His family. Have you ever stopped and think about that? Saul killed the family members of Jesus. I mean, he killed those people he held in closer relationship than his own blood family. And I mean, Saul killed them.
Hmm.
And God took him and changed him. And if He can do that, then there's nothing in your past that disqualifies you from being His. And I mean, wouldn't that be a great way? I know we got off the marriage thing, but wouldn't it be a great way to go into celebrating this Christmas season than to say, you know what, today, I haven't been living very much like I'm chosen. I haven't been living very much like he did this for me.
Yeah.
I just think there's something to be said about being grateful this time of year.
We had this discussion, there were two or three of us, after SWAT Bible study today, just got on the topic of, you think about the text that we were looking at today of the rich young ruler who said, you know, what must I do to be saved? Jesus says, you know, what does the law say? And the law, as you said, is really there to expose, you know, how we don't meet the standard, never will meet the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the rich young ruler says, well, I've done all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Jesus said, well, then go sell all you have, give it to the poor. And what happened? He walked away down.
Mm-hmm.
And yet for us, you know, the beauty of what we have is that even when we open up God's word reveals to us our own shortcomings, our own sin. And instead of walking away down and depressed, we walk away rejoicing, not because we measured up, but because Christ measured up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the verses we say around our house often is, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Mm-hmm.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rejoice? How are you glad? Why are you rejoicing? Why are you glad? You're not rejoicing and glad necessarily because your circumstances are as you desire them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're rejoicing and you're glad because God is good.
Yeah.
And even when your circumstances may not be good, God is good.
Mm.
And listen, I was thinking about that text that where I think it was. Is it Peter who said there at the end of that next passage that we're going to look at when we come back, is Peter was like, well, what about us, Jesus? And Jesus reminds him, say, hey, there's another life coming beyond what you're experiencing here.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just adopted. We are co-heirs with Christ.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the issue for us is this issue of God's word being our authority, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life when that happened.
Mm.
When his word became my authority, it changes everything about the way you interact with people, because you're confronted with sin in your own life, and it tells you how to deal with that. When, you know, we're going to blow it. And when we blow it, we come back to him and we say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that he died on the cross, but God's word, so many people today dismiss his word. They say, well, it's a dated book. It's a dated thing. And, you know, it's his word is rich. It is a love letter from God.
Mm.
And, you know, I was going to read Psalm 19, 7 through 10, which I love, actually 7 through 10. It's a summary. But instead of reading it, my daughter, Sarah, I don't know that I've ever played any of her music on here before, but she did a version of this particular song that I want played at my memorial service because it's so beautiful. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know where your view of the Word of God is, but I want you to listen to this musical reading of Psalm 19. Steve, can I play this just like I've been playing the Christmas music and run this through? Is it okay? Okay. This is Psalm 19. Just sit back and let these words ring in your heart.
Your law is perfect, reviving my soul. Your word is sure, making wise the sick. mind. Be my hope, be my comfort, be my guide.
It's so good.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Just that's the word of God in with music. But it's God's word. That's
right.
She just sang Psalm 19, 7 to 10.
Yeah, and I was going to say, 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You're talking about the song you played before was this. We would have never done it that way. But making wise the simple. Isn't it? I mean, I think you're right, Doug, as I open the Word of God daily. It just is, it's so refreshing.
Mm.
There's so many words that were used in that song, obviously taken from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
That we always say Scripture supports Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that He is the bread of life. He is the living water. I think of the woman at the well who was thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you drinking from? What are you drinking from? And boy, we got a lot of things to drink from in this world.
Right? There are. And I pray that you will be drinking from His word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brad, we're down. This is it.
I know.
Hey, SWAT tonight at East Side Community Church, 13301 Beach Boulevard, 7 to 8. SWAT tomorrow at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food, 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. And Friday at Village Inn down in St. Augustine. Hope you guys have a great Christmas, and remember, be tenderhearted.
Yes, amen. Doug, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to our listeners, and we'll be on air. Just listen up.
Yeah,
we'll be
listen
there.
Up. Take care.
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.